I love that chapter, don't you? Hey, church, it's great to see you. I'm thankful that you're able to be here with us today. If you're visiting with us, again, thank you for being here also. We certainly are excited to be able to be in a congregation full of love. And I love this church family. Today's been a great day already, and it's going to get even better. I know it was a great day because Leaders of Light Ladies started out the ladies' class, what I heard, by knocking it out of the park. I heard there were great scriptures read, there were great songs led, there were great lessons given, there were great prayers led, and I have had many ladies come up and talk about how fulfilling it was. So to the mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas, and especially those who are participating in our Leaders of Light, and also Taylor and Katie for making it happen, thank you for what you're doing, for sharing your talents. And by the way, we're going to have more of that this afternoon. I'm going to preach this lesson. We're going to extend the invitation. We're going to see if anyone comes forward to be baptized or comes home. We're going to be led in a song. We're going to have a dismissal prayer. That's the way it typically goes, right? But then after that prayer, we're going to have the opportunity to go back in the back and eat some of the best broccoli you've ever had. I recommend the broccoli highly, you know, and so go and get all of it. And then we'll have some other things there that you should stay away from. And then we're going to come back in here and assemble as directed by the leadership, the elders of this church, and we're going to have another worship service. And our young men and an adult man will be leading that service here this afternoon. You know, I could probably guilt trip you. I sure probably could. But Grayson Barnes, can you stand up right here? Actually, Grayson, just come here for a minute, if you don't mind. Totally unscripted, right, Grayson? He's like, you could have prepped me. I mean, I could probably guilt trip you, but I won't. But Taylor, Grayson's going to be giving his first ever Devo today. And I've heard it, and I'm proud of him, and he's going to do a great job. And if you don't come and hear him, shame on you, right, Grayson? That's what I'm talking about, baby. All right. Seriously, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. We have two dogs at our house. One is a boxer, one is a Shih Tzu. And those dogs love crumbs. They love anything that falls from your plate. So much so that they think that something is supposed to fall so that they can have those crumbs. Even this morning, as I was gathering some thoughts at our breakfast table, I was eating a couple pieces of toast. And you know, I may have slipped them a piece of toast every now and again, so they know if I get the toaster out that it's time for Terry. And so I'm sitting there eating, and I'm in another world thinking about today and thinking about a lot of different things that are going on and involving, you know, my lesson and Bible class and all that. And I feel a big old paw on one leg and a little bitty paw on the other. Like, hey, you didn't forget about us, right? But that's what dogs do. I mean, I've never eaten their dog food, but I would imagine after eating that for so long, I taste a piece of human food, I'm going to beg for it too. All they want are the crumbs from our table. Today's lesson is found in Matthew chapter 15. I know the scripture reading sign said Matthew 21, and that was on me. I did it at about 10 o'clock last night, and for whatever reason, I wrote the wrong scriptures. But Harrison read the right scripture. We're in Matthew 15 today, verses 21 through 28. Let's read that together. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. "My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. There's a lot of things about this passage that are interesting. They're interesting to me. I think they'll be interesting to you. There are a lot of things about this passage that may seem a little bit out of character for our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. You know, there are things, though, that Jesus does with a purpose. Everything He did, as Bill says, was on purpose. Jesus had a plan. First of all, He has escaped some areas, and He's in the remotest parts of ancient Palestine. And He encounters this lady. Can you turn the lights down just a little bit, please? And He encounters this lady. And this lady is a Gentile lady. She is a Canaanite, specifically. But did you notice what she knew about Jesus? Now remember, she's a Gentile. She's a Canaanite. We'll talk more about that as we go. But this woman knew the proper designation of Jesus as the Messiah. And you know that because she called Him Son of David. Now, why would a Gentile lady know that? Why would a Canaanite woman know that? It just goes to show you that Jesus' fame has spread forever throughout the region there. But you see in this story a couple things that may be a little bit challenging. First of all, this lady comes and she talks to Jesus and she pleads with Jesus because her daughter is demon-possessed. But Jesus didn't answer her. And you might think, well, that's strange. But what's strange is not that Jesus didn't answer her, but it's the disciples. You see, Jesus, He spent the 3 years of His public ministry. He did a lot of great things, right? We know Jesus did a lot of great things. In fact, the things that we know about Jesus doing are written for our learning. He did a lot of great things beyond that, according to John in his gospel. But the 3 years Jesus spent of His public ministry, not only doing good things, but changing the hearts and the minds and the attitude of His disciples. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, he reminded them, these are the attitudes you need to be, right? He started with those blessed statements. We call them the Beatitudes. You need to empty yourself so that you can fill yourself with the right stuff. That's what those Beatitudes are about. And then He goes on and talks about it didn't come to destroy the law and prophets, to come to fulfill it. And so with that, He's talking about being the light of the world and salt of the earth. In fact, He tells them that you need to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Then He's going to take them on a journey how He comes to fulfill that law. Or the law. And so all that to say, He's spending these 3 years changing His disciples who are going to become His apostles' mindset. Why is He doing that? Because in Matthew 16, He gives Peter the keys to the kingdom. And the church is coming. And He needs them. He knows He's going to die. He's going to be resurrected in order that, in other words, that has to happen so that the church can come to be, so that we can inherit salvation. But He needs the disciples and apostles to carry it out. So, I don't want you to look at this as Jesus doing this to this woman. I want you to look at Him teaching His disciples a lesson. Because they, the disciples, the ones that are with Jesus, they were the ones who had no feelings for this woman. In fact, if you look back at verse 23, they say, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." I guess she does. I imagine she was crying out to a lot of people, right? Her daughter's demon-possessed. And so she's crying out. And so what are the disciples? They're tired of this woman. And by the way, don't think that is far-fetched that they didn't like Gentiles. In fact, Peter has to have a whole vision about it. And then he even struggles with it later on. And so this is something that they struggled with. And so Jesus is going to use this opportunity. He's going to help this lady, but he's going to teach this lesson. But I think through it all, there's a lot of learning for us in this as well. So I want you to know that in the light of the attitude of these 12 men that are with Jesus, that's how we're going to understand this story. Christ answered not a word. Maybe he thought the disciples might say a word. He always wanted them to step up. He always wanted them to lead. He wanted them to understand being lights and salt. He wanted love. He wanted kindness. And guess what? They didn't say anything to her. That was a lost hope. In fact, they said, "Put her away. Send her away." But I want you to see in this lesson the faith of this lady. I want you to see how strong she is. And I say that today because we're talking about just breadcrumbs. All she wanted was breadcrumbs from Jesus' table. These breadcrumbs helped her have a faith that was absolutely amazing, so much so that we're talking about it 2,000 years later. You see, in order to be what God wants us to be, it takes strength. Some have said a strong person works out every day to keep their body in shape, but a person of strength kneels in prayer to keep their soul in shape. A strong person isn't afraid of anything, but a person of strength shows their courage in the middle of fear. A strong person won't let anyone get the best of them, but a person of strength gives the best of themselves to everyone. A strong person walks sure-footed, but a person of strength knows God will catch them when and if they fall. A strong person wears the look of confidence on their face, but a person of strength wears grace. A strong person has faith that they are strong enough for the journey, but a person of strength has the faith that in the journey they will become strong. And in this story, it's the woman's faith that separates this woman, even from the disciples. This is a lesson about this strong lady of faith, and we don't even know her name. Guess what? Your name doesn't have to be famous to make an impact on the kingdom of God. You see, right now, there are some in this room that do not think very highly of themselves. In fact, you probably have some low self-esteem. You know, I can recognize that. I can relate to that myself. You might not have confidence to be what God wants you to be. You might think, "Hey, I'm not this and I'm not that and I can't do this and I can't do that." Guess what? All it takes is faith. God will do the rest. Believe in Him. Eat from His table. Even eat the crumbs. And great things can happen no matter where or who we are. This is a story in Matthew 15 about a mother who loves her daughter. She loved her so much that she came to the only person that she knew could help her, and that's Jesus Christ. This lady was willing to just feast on the crumbs from Jesus' table. Today's lesson is a lesson that applies to everyone. No matter where you are in your journey. By the way, Parker and Evie are here today. Last Sunday, they walked the aisle with their dad for courage. And they confessed Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And then we took them and we immersed them in water to allow God to contact them with the blood of Jesus, to wash their sins away, to give them the gift of the Holy Spirit, and to add them to His kingdom. Today is 1 week in their journey. Some have been in their journey for years and decades upon decades, or years upon years, right? And so it doesn't matter if you just started your journey or you've been there a long time. This lesson can resonate with all of us. Wherever you are down the road, listen to this lesson. Listen to these words. Listen to what happens. Because if we truly want to have strength, then no matter where we are, we must get to Jesus. Just like this lady did. This lady gives us 3 points, I believe, in life that reminds us no matter what, we've got to get to Jesus. The first one is this. Sometimes we've got to come to Jesus even if it's out of desperation. If you look at verse 22 through verse 23 of Matthew 15, it reads like this. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Now, I'm going to confess to you, I don't really understand what made Satan choose somebody to possess. Why did he choose Legion? Why did he just send all those angels or demons, fallen angels, into this man that we read about in Mark chapter 5 and other places? Why did Satan choose that person? Why did he choose the lady that is annoying Paul in the book of Acts? Why did he choose this daughter? Now, there could be a lot of questions asked or a lot of theories thrown out there that maybe they were already sinful people and they welcomed them in. Maybe they were just weak people. Maybe it was just random. Maybe I don't know everything. I don't know how Satan worked. I don't know all the things that he did. But here's what I do know. He has severely hurt this woman because she is severely demon-possessed. Can you imagine a mama looking at that? Can you imagine a mama seeing their child speak demonic, act demonic, do these things where this possession has overtaken her and she's not her little girl anymore? She's not that little girl that gave her kisses in the morning. She's not that little girl that gave her hugs. She's not that little girl that helped her out. She's this evil being. And this mama sees this day in and day out. And even though she's a Canaanite, even though she's a Gentile, she is desperate. I don't know what it's like to be demon-possessed, and I'm thankful for that. I don't know what it's like to watch someone who is demon-possessed. But I can imagine it is most miserable. And I can also imagine that it is most miserable watching your child go through that. This lady, at the risk of being made fun of, at the risk of being told no, at the risk of saying, you do not need to bother him, you're a Gentile, you're a dog, you are nothing in the sight of Israel, she was at her wit's end. She could not get Satan out of her daughter on her own. I can imagine that she had tried everything that she knew to remove this demon. Can you imagine yourself the depths this mother has gone to help her daughter? Well, she probably took her to the doctor. Hey, doctor, what can you do? It probably costs her money after money after money going to doctor after doctor after doctor, only for every doctor to say, we can't do anything. Maybe she went to some other religious people. Hey, can you get this demon out? And maybe some of them said, yeah, we can do it, or so-and-so can do it, or send her on this goose chase, down this road, down that path. And she went to all these places, I can only imagine. And none of them could get the demon out of her. Maybe she even said, I'm going to the soothsayers, to those who practice magic, to see if they can catch. She lowered herself to that black magic, to areas that she didn't want to. She was uncomfortable. That was scary. She took her daughter there. Why? Because she is desperate. I'm not sure where all this lady had gone for help. But here's one thing I do know. Wherever she had gone, no one could help her. But she hears about the Son of David. She hears about the Messiah. She hears about Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to remember, as she goes to approach Jesus, there were some obstacles. A few weeks ago we talked about obstacles, things that Satan's going to put in our way. You know Satan put these temptations in her mind. First of all, she's a woman. And at that day and time, women didn't have a lot of say-so in things. They didn't have a lot of just step in and go to approach a man, especially a man of the caliber of Jesus as far as his reputation goes. So she had to overcome, hey, I'm just a woman. But she's also a Gentile. Again, the Gentiles in Israel, Jesus is a man of Israel. He's a man from the tribe of Judah. He's a Hebrew. And so these Hebrews, by trade, by nature, by reputation, by factual evidence, do not like the Gentiles. They called them dogs. They thought of them being very low people. So she's a woman, that's an obstacle. She's a Gentile, and then she's a Canaanite. What's a Canaanite? The Canaanites who lived in the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon where they were often very troublesome. On one hand, they were a constant military threat that occasionally oppressed Israel. They also had a seductive influence on God's people that caused Israel time and time again to turn away from their Creator, God, and worship idols. Put it all together. She has a demon-possessed daughter that no one can help. She hears about the Son of David. She hears about the Messiah. She hears about Jesus Christ and what He's doing. That reputation had gotten to where she lived. But there's obstacles. First of all, she's got to drag a demon-possessed child around. But then she's got to realize, I'm a woman. I'm a Gentile. I'm a Canaanite. But no matter what, she was a desperate mama who wanted her child to be healed. So she went to Jesus out of desperation. See, there's no one in here demon-possessed. There's no one here that has a family member that's demon-possessed. But there may be some here who have given their lives over to Satan. There may be some here who've tried Satan's ways. And you've realized that today, Satan's ways have left you most miserable. That you are hurting that you are in pain, that you heard Grady's words this morning that all good and perfect gifts come from above. Well, I've got a lot of bad and imperfect ones. Where do they come from? Well, they come from Satan. Your marriage is not what you want it to be. Your family's not what you want it to be. Your job's not what you want it to be. Your life's not what you want it to be. Guess what? Even if you're desperate today, still come to Jesus. But that's not all we learn from this lady. She not only came out of desperation, but she came out of adoration. Look at verse 25. Then she came and worshipped Him, saying, "Lord, help me." She admired Him. She recognized His authority. She called Him Lord. She recognized that He was the true Messiah, the Son of David. She recognized that He had awesome abilities and powers. She admired Jesus. She adored Him. She came out of adoration. She might have been desperate, but she came with all respect. There are a lot of folks that try to make worship complicated. If not, then we would be filled up all the time, right? But see, worship seems to be complicated to some. In fact, you know, if it means Bible class, if it means worship, if it means Wednesday night, if it means study my Bible, if it means say prayers, if it means being able to help somebody know Jesus, if it all checking on sick, checking on folks, encouraging others, all these things, when I put it all together, Satan wants me to believe that worship is complicated and it's a chore. But I'm here to tell you, in fact, this lady in this story is here to show us worship is not a complicated chore. She came to Jesus and she worshiped Him. Her worship consisted of three simple words. Lord, help me. See, you don't have to know all the proper Hebrew, all the proper Greek. You don't have to have every single book of the Bible memorized. You don't have to know who all the kings were. You don't have to know who all the judges were. You don't have to know if this is Old Testament or New Testament per se. There's some things we do need to know, but you don't have to know all of those things to be able to come and worship Jesus today. This mother, she didn't know what we would call all the church words. She didn't have all the church vocabulary. But see, God's not listening for you to just say the right words. He's more interested in the attitude you come with. Let's break down what she requested. Lord. The word is the Greek word, kurios, and it means supreme in authority or the one in control. With the word Lord, as she worshiped Jesus, as she cries out Lord in the first of her three words, with that word she acknowledged that she no longer desires to control her own life. She desires to give Jesus Christ complete control. Today, if you're going to bow down to Jesus, if you're going to bow down to God, and you're going to cry out to Him, Lord, help me, you're asking Him to be Lord of all. That means Lord of your marriage. That means Lord of your checking account. That means Lord of your job. That means Lord of your parenting. That means Lord of your relationship with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. That means Lord of everything you do. Because if He's not Lord of all, then He's not Lord at all. It's not hard to come to Jesus, but if you're going to bow down to Him and cry out to Him, Lord, you're saying, I surrender all. And that's what this mama's doing. We got to understand the importance If we're going to come to Jesus, we're going to come out of desperation, we're going to come out of adoration, we've got to understand the importance of making Him master of our life. She said, secondly, help. Lord, help. The word help there, it literally means to aid. To aid. She was acknowledging her inability to help herself or help her daughter. I need you to aid me through this. I need you to help me through this. I need you to give me what I need, what she needs to make her better. You see, this mama, this woman, this lady, she needed her daughter to be helped, but she needed help herself. She's a Gentile, she's a Canaanite. She couldn't taste salvation without being grafted in. Neither can you and I. Because God gave us all we need, and He gave it to us in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ. Today, you and me, as Gentiles, as dogs in the sight of Israel in that day, we have been grafted into the true vine, who is Jesus Christ. She's saying, Lord, help. She needed the help that only Jesus could provide. And then the third word that she said was me. Lord, help me. Can you imagine where she was? Can you imagine what her mental state was? We talk a lot about mental health today. Well, there's a lot of mental health issues throughout the Scriptures. You can see it. You can see stress. You can see depression. You can see anxiety. You can see all the things that people struggle with all these years later today that the same characters did as well. This is a mama who's got a demon-possessed daughter. You think her stress level is high? First of all, she doesn't probably even care about her own health. She's probably so low and so driven to help her daughter that she's not eating, she's not doing the things that she needs to do to take care of her own body, her own mental health. So she wants her daughter to be helped, but she needs help herself. See, Jesus, as we see the story ends, He's going to help the girl. But I guarantee you, in doing so, it certainly helped the mother. You might be desperate today, but don't let desperation stop you from coming to Jesus. Don't say, oh, I've got to put Him there and there. No, if you're desperate, wherever you are, wherever you struggle with, whatever struggles you may have going on in your life right now, no matter what, today's the day to come to Jesus, but you got to come with adoration. Recognizing who He is, recognizing the ability, the strength, and the power. But then thirdly, as we learn from this mama, we got to come with humiliation. Again, Jesus answered this mom in what we would call a strange way. Verse 26, but He answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Now, I want you to know that this lady and this daughter need help, but so do the 12. They need help also. They need an attitude change, an attitude adjustment. And so Jesus, in knowing, and you know Jesus knew that He was going to help this lady the whole time. I just know that He knew He was going to do this, but He took this opportunity to not only help her, to help her daughter, but to help the 12. The 12 who said, send her away. She's getting on our nerves. She will not quit asking us. She keeps falling before us, begging us, just get her out of here. Now that's not an attitude that can carry the kingdom into the world. They needed humbling. This mom comes humble. She's been beaten down by the world. She's been beaten down by Satan because she's watched her little girl, whatever age she is, struggle with this demon possession that she's severely punished with. So she comes bowed down before the Lord. But there stood the 12. Can you believe this? Can you believe this lady is, this Gentile, this Canaanite, is bowed down before our master? If people come to Jesus out of desperation, and they come with all the adoration, and they come through humiliation, I want you to know, church, they won't all look like us. They won't all dress like us. They won't all act like us. They won't all have the same vocabulary that we have. They won't all smell like us. They won't all be a perfect mold of the perfect Christian. So we better not stand there saying, "Can you believe?" It was a lesson in humiliation. Yes, the mom comes humiliated, humble as she can be, lowering herself to bow down to the master so that he could exalt her. But Jesus needed those 12 to be humbled themselves. I love happy endings. All she wanted was the crumbs. Jesus was so amazed by this that he said, "Oh woman, great is your faith." The strength I told you earlier, she had it. He said, "Let it be to you as you desire," and her daughter was healed from that very hour. I just got to believe I'm going to learn that lady's name in heaven. She came to Jesus despite the shame. Despite the struggle, despite the obstacles, she came to Jesus because she was desperate. She had nowhere else to go. Does God want you to come to Him first? Absolutely. But even if you're coming and today is the last resort, still come. Because Jesus today can take Satan and wash the Satan out of your lives. You know, I think about this mama. And I think about what mamas do. The other day, Gabe got mad at me coming into the church building. Because there were some geese outside, and they had some little goslings. You might have seen that as we were coming in. And everybody says, "Oh, that's so cute." I said, "If you think it's so cute, go up and try to catch one of those goslings. And watch that mama goose get angry." Now, he thought I was talking about the little goose, so Gabe was mad at me. I said, "No, not the little one. But that mama goose, she's going to do anything to protect her baby. That mama bear, this mama, she went to Jesus to get Satan out of her daughter. But at the same time, I feel like I could guarantee you, she went to Jesus and got her daughter to heaven. Today, I don't care why you come. More importantly, that God doesn't care. Oh, preacher, you don't know the things I've done. I don't, but God does. But He still wants you to come. By you coming and crying out, Lord, help me. Oh, yes, you're doing it for you. You might be doing it for your family, but here's what you're doing it for all eyes that are watching you today. You're helping them see Jesus. Today, the same Jesus that can do amazing things with crumbs. What if you had all of Him? Today you can. Won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.